Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Can a single trip change the way we see our own family roots? Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe. It is January 17th, 2026. Still hard for me to believe we're already in 2026, but I'll get used to it. And just when I've gotten used to it, it'll be 2027. So, we are in the middle of a travel article, Travel for the Soul. But I'm very happy that I haven't been talking about this alone. I do enjoy travel. There's quite a bit that I could share from my own personal travel experiences, as I'm sure you can as well. And part of the reason why we have these articles here on Advanced is to kind of give you a demonstration, to kind of show you how you can talk about certain things, you know, especially when it comes to travel, the different kinds of words that you can use. But I'm not alone. I'm very happy that Rhonda is back with me. Hello, Rhonda.
Hello, Gabe, and no, you are not alone. And Gabe, I just want to say you're young enough to be my son.
Okay.
And if you ever feel alone and need some motherly advice, you know that you can always come to me, although I know you have a very wise and wonderful mother already. Oh, are you
I think I've probably come to you for motherly advice before, or at least older sisterly advice.
Very older sisterly. Well, good. Yes, Gabe and I are friends. We work at Studio Classroom together, and he's also a friend of my son, John. So I do have a real son, but I do think of you as sort of a son.
Well, thank you, Rhonda. You know, with coworkers, because you're a friend, you're a coworker. But I think I generally like to refer to people as like older sisters or something like that. But I appreciate that, though. I appreciate that you see me as a son.
Well, so if I have to scold you or correct you.
There.
No, just kidding. We are very friendly at ORTV with each other. We have good relationships. We share so many things in common. And we are so glad to enjoy our friendship on the radio as well, right? We enjoy talking to each other. Sorry, readers, if we joke around too much, but we like each other a lot.
Well,
sometimes often make jokes.
We learn about each other through these radio programs or through the things that come out when we're talking on TV or something like that. And that's fun. That's a great way to get to know each other as well. But, you know, earlier I was talking about like some words or some things you could that might come in handy when you're traveling. And one that I was thinking about was that phrase that appeared on the 15th in that article about the jaw-dropping. You know, you want to have these jaw-dropping landscapes or delicious foods. Yeah. Is there anything else that kind of stuck out to you from the article so far, Rhonda, the last couple of days?
Sure. I really love her overall emphasis on travel that is a balance between having fun, obviously, but it's a cultural exchange ultimately that you bring yourself to the place you're going to and you want to show the local people that you really appreciate and delight in what they're doing. I was touched by her mentioning of the women who do make the tapestries. Let's see, what country was that, Gabe? Was that in Greece, the women who make the tapestries and how she, it was Egypt.
Yeah.
And how she would take time to watch and learn from them. That's a detail that I remember.
Yeah. Well, she is very intentional, or at least she's going to try to be intentional when she travels to these different places and have these cultural experiences. But speaking of culture, when you travel, do you usually focus more on nature, history, or culture? Or is it just depending on where you go?
Sure. It sure does depend. I would take a trip, if I did travel a lot, for a specific reason. If I was going to go to Athens, I would want to really get into the history that is so famous. Obviously, if I was going to go to the Grand Canyon, I'd be there for the nature.
Yeah.
So there is so much. As we get into this next reading, she's going to use the word multicultural. So it's not as though there's always one specific thing to understand in an area, but she really is going to show an appreciation for multicultural heritage.
Well, let's get into the next reading.
Home to a majority Creole population, Seychelles' population also includes many descendants of European, Indian, Chinese, and Arab immigrants. I'm eager to learn more about that multicultural heritage, perhaps through a food tour and a visit to the market in Mahé. Island hopping would be a must, too. Whether visiting forested Curieus to commune with giant tortoises, or touring Vallée des Mailles Nature Reserve to ogle a giant forest of sea coconut palm trees. Sea coconuts are all flesh and no water, and they only grow in a few islands in Seychelles. The cultural experience I most want to try. Seychelles National Institute for Culture, Heritage, and the Arts. I'd try Grandma's Savoir-Faire, a full-day workshop hosted by Le Domaine de Val de Puy, a Creole cultural village on the south of Mahé. It involves spending the day learning about a variety of Seychellois traditions, from creating coconut baskets to cooking Creole seafood dishes. It also includes a Mutia folkloric dance class, a hip swaying tradition accompanied by live drumming that was brought to Seychelles by enslaved Africans in the 18th century.
Good luck, friends. It's not only an English lesson, but a French one. We've got a lot of French words in this section, or at least it sounds like that, right? So let's get into it. We're talking about this place that has a majority Creole population. Now, Creole, this is someone whose family were originally from both Europe and Africa. And sometimes we talk about, you know, it's not only in this part of the world where you get Creole populations.
My understanding is Louisiana, that U.S. state Louisiana, has a Creole
heritage.
Cultural heritage, yes. And it's famous for cooking. There are Creole dishes. I'm not real familiar with the culture or the food, but that's what I know, that Louisiana, New Orleans area.
Yes, that's right. In the United States, Louisiana specifically among the states. But then here, of course, we're finding out about this Creole population. Seychelles. I just like the way that's pronounced. Seychelles kind of reminds me of seashells. Do you ever like to see seashells by the seashore?
Oh, Gabe, that's a famous tongue twister in English.
She sells seashells by the seashore. Yeah, nice. Good job.
Now say it three times fast.
Yes, that is the trick with tongue twisters. Well, Seychelles' population includes many descendants of European, Indian, Chinese, and Arab immigrants. And she's eager to learn more about that multicultural heritage. That's that heritage you were talking about, Rhonda. Multicultural, many cultures represented here, perhaps through a food tour and a visit to the market in Mahé. Multicultural and food, that makes me think of the word fusion.
Yes.
I think sometimes we use the word fusion when talking about maybe a food that include or that's made representing two or three different cultures.
Yes, and I think of restaurants identifying themselves as, or chefs.
Oh, sure.
Chefs identifying themselves as fusion.
Sorry, fusion
I'm not saying
chefs.
It right. Yeah, that fusion is a term in the food world that it's often used to identify a restaurant or a chef's particular specialties. That's my understanding of using that word. So we might say, let's go to that restaurant. They have a fusion of. Is that correct?
Exactly. Gabe? A fusion of like Chinese and Indian, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Or a fusion of
Mexican and
Italian.
Okay, very good. Yes.
Or something.
Yeah, it's. I think it's kind of almost like a specialty word in the restaurant industry in some ways.
Yeah, that's right. But it's the idea of a mix, a combination of different kinds of cuisine. So that's a great word to know. It does not appear in your lesson, of course, but I'm not surprised that food is what came to her mind when she thought of this multicultural heritage. And she's going to check out the market in Mahi. Island hopping. Have you ever gone island hopping, Rhonda? Last year, my family, we went to visit Cebu in the Philippines, and part of our trip there, we did some island hopping. We got on a little boat and went to one of the islands close by, and then we went to another island close by and just kind of enjoyed the beach there for a little bit, and then went back to the main island. Have you ever gone island hopping?
I have not. Does that imply that these are short visits to the islands?
Usually. Although, I think you could prolong your stay on these islands and still call it island hopping. Mm. Yeah. Like if you went to Greece, for example, and you had a longer period of time to travel, you could stay on Paros for a day or two. You could hop to another island and stay there for a day or two and, you know, do even more. That would be island hopping as well, I think.
And this is an archipelago. Did I say that word right? Archipelago? Archipelago?
When I learned it the first time, it was like that, archipelago.
Just say it fast and no one will know.
Yeah, but archipelago. I've heard more people say archipelago.
Okay.
These days.
Okay. Yeah. So it means many, many, many islands, right?
Yeah, just a lot of islands.
You'd have to hop.
Exactly. A huge group of islands is an archipelago.
And that's why she says island hopping would be a must, too. I noticed that a must. That's using must
as a
noun there. Oh, that is a must.
Yeah.
It's a slang, would you say?
Yeah, well, it's just the way we use it. It's pretty common. Yeah, to say that something, this is a must. That means you must do it. That means you have to do it. You really have to try it.
I think we most use it in English for something like a vacation or you are recommending something special. Oh, yes. It is a must.
Yes. When you're recommending something, it's a must. That's a great way to put it. So island hopping, if you're there, that, you know, seems to be obvious to her. It's a must. You should do it. Whether visiting forested Curis to commune with giant tortoises or touring Valle de Mai Nature Reserve to ogle a giant forest of sea coconut palm trees. Let's talk about those two. We're not really going to talk about the French words here. We're going to talk about the words commune and ogle. What does it mean to commune with somebody or something?
To commune with, you know, community, communicate, to communicate with a person in a mysterious way or an animal. Now, in a mysterious way. In my understanding, if we say commune with, for example, he's communing with nature. There's a little bit of a humor in that. She's saying she's having a special spiritual experience with giant tortoises.
Yeah.
I think our author is using that phrase, commune with, in a little bit of a lighthearted way. So if I say, Gabe, he's over there communing with nature, I'm a little bit teasing you. Because you can't really have a deep spiritual experience with a turtle or a plant.
That depends ask.
I want to talk to our readers. I'm trying to talk to our readers here about, our listeners, our readers, about how they might use that phrase. Am I wrong or right that it's a little bit comical or a little bit of an exaggeration?
Sure, because often we would use it refer to being around other people. That's what we're talking about with communities, right? Or you can commune with other people to do something together. That's how we often use the word. But then, when you're communing with nature, or it's just another way of saying you're kind of being one in some way. You're setting some of your energy and time apart to just go out in nature and not be with other people. And specifically here, she's going to spend some time with giant tortoises. And so this is a deeper way of expressing that she's just going to spend some. She could have said, I'm just going to spend some time with giant tortoises. But here it seems a little deeper than that. Even though you know, like you said, Rhonda, how much of a connection can you establish with giant tortoises? I don't know. But I do want to talk about another word here, and that is the word ogle. Ogle, this is to look at something kind of or stare at it because you're really interested in it or you want to know more about it. Maybe there's some kind of desire there. So she's going to ogle a giant forest of sea coconut palm trees. Would you do that, Rhonda? Do you want to ogle
Again, I think the writer is having fun with language here. That's my point I was trying to make, commuting with tortoises, ogling a giant forest. She's being creative with language. You don't usually think of ogling a forest.
Yeah.
It's a really fun word. If you use it, someone's looking at someone else inappropriately, it can imply that it's an inappropriate looking at a person. But here it's fun. Maybe she... Well, I don't know if you eat those coconuts. I was going to say maybe she's eyeing the coconuts to eat them, but doesn't sound like they're that kind of coconut.
Well, we see this parenthetical statement here. Sea coconuts are all flesh and no water, and they only grow in a few islands in Seychelles.
Maybe she is wanting to try the coconuts. Do you think that's why she chose the word ogle? Because they're coconuts that are really good to eat? She doesn't explain.
Yeah, perhaps. It's all flesh and no water, though, so you can't drink anything from those coconuts. Well, what cultural experience does she want to try? Seychelles National Institute for Culture, Heritage, and the Arts. I'd try Grandma Savoir Faire, a full-day workshop hosted by Le Domaine La Desprez, a Creole cultural village on the south of Mahé. Does this sound interesting to you, Rhonda? It involves spending the day learning about a variety of Seychellois traditions.
It does sound interesting, and I'm wondering if Grandma's savoir-faire, if there actually is a grandma or an older woman who's leading these crafts. So I want to meet this grandma.
Yeah,
because
right?
I'm a grandma.
Well.
So of course this would be interesting. I want to know how this woman is being so creative. I don't know if it refers to one woman. Maybe it's a way to say.
Or maybe this person established it, but she's no longer with us. We don't. But they kept the name, right? Grandma. Grandma Savoir Faire.
Well, it does give us a name. Hold it. It says a workshop hosted by.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's not a person's name. Let's take a look at that. It's hosted by
the
domain.
Yeah.
The village. Okay.
So hosted by a village.
A fun name for the workshop is Grandma's Workshop, but it's hosted by the whole village.
That's right. And we see here there's a variety of Seychellois. That O-I-S on the end of a French word is often pronounced wa. my friends from Quebec, we'll talk about their Québécois traditions or Québécois lifestyles as well. That's how you'd, you know, say anything related to Quebec is Québécois. And I get the idea that Seychellois is also describing anything that has to do with Seychelles. These Seychelles traditions, from creating coconut baskets to cooking Creole seafood dishes. I am terrible at cooking and making food in general, but I think that I would enjoy this. I would enjoy learning how to make some of these local dishes.
It does sound fun. I would be interested in creating coconut baskets. What about the next thing? Part of this workshop includes a dance class, hip swaying tradition. Mm-hmm. A hip swaying tradition accompanied by live drumming. You would like the live drumming, right, Gabe?
I probably would. And anything that's folkloric describes something that is related to the local area, first of all, but the traditions there, the stories, the customs, that kind of thing. So it's something that you cannot see everywhere if you're learning about something folkloric. It has to do with a certain place and the things going on there. But yeah, this does sound fun. Okay, well, we've learned a lot about what you can do in Seychelles, but now let's go to a completely different part of the world in Brazil.
Brazil. My number one priority is a personal mission that truly tickles my heart. Recreating a photograph of my parents posing by the Christ the Redeemer statue in Rio de Janeiro. Their snapshot sat in our living room for years and planted an early seed for my love of travel. But after that, I'm planning to jump into the fray of Rio's epic Carnival celebrations, with its vibrant costume displays and energetic dance parties. And if I can build goodwill with locals, they may just invite me to join in and pick up some samba moves. The cultural experience I most want to try. The Rio Little Africa Walking Tour highlights Rio de Janeiro's African roots and its ties to the transatlantic slave trade. it's part of a trend I reported on in 2024, as Brazil began making a push for Black heritage travel for the first time ever.
Well, there it is. Something that is very near and dear to the writer's heart is Brazil, and we see why here in this first section. So my number one priority is a personal mission that truly tickles my heart. What tickles your heart, Rhonda? What does that mean?
Well, watching my grandchildren play tickles my heart. It's that lighthearted delight. Tickle is what you do with your fingers real fast if you're teasing someone, like tickle your little baby daughter or something.
Yeah, it's kind of like it brings you extreme joy or affection or things like that. So this is something that tickles Lebawit Lily Girma's heart, recreating a photograph of my parents posing by the Christ the Redeemer statue in Rio de Janeiro. This is one of the most famous landmarks in the world. Yes, or a few days ago, we were talking about places that represent countries.
Iconic.
They're iconic, right? Like the Statue of Liberty or the White House in the United States. Or if you're going to go to Brazil, probably the most iconic thing there is this Christ the Redeemer statue that overlooks that bay in Rio de Janeiro. It always looks, photographers always know how to make that thing look so huge. And yet, I've heard when you travel there, it's like, okay, like it's pretty big, but it's just not as big as, I guess, the photographers make it look.
They take a photograph from a certain angle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, redeemer would be another way to say savior, redeeming. So that's an English word we don't use too often. So her parents went there years ago. Their snapshot, that's an old way to talk about a photo, right? When you used to hold up a camera and snap a photo.
That's right.
That quick hit of the button. Their snapshot, photograph, sat in our living room for years, and I love this phrase, planted an early seed. So the snapshot planted a seed. That means it gave me a desire to travel.
Yeah, maybe just seeing that photo of this place that's obviously not where you live now, but seeing this photo, your parents are at this place, and you're like, okay, well, yeah, I want to do that too. I want to go travel. I want to go check out places like that and other places as well. Yeah, so after that, I'm planning to jump into the fray of Rio's epic carnival celebrations. Yes, they are known for their epic carnival celebrations. But before we get into that, let's talk about the fray of something. This is the energy that's often accompanied with kind of a loosely organized activity. The feel of being in an activity like this, the fray.
I think we mostly use it in a phrase like jump into or join the fray.
Join the fray.
I think we mostly use it in the whole phrase.
Join the fray, meaning join the craziness.
Join the craziness
of the situation. Join the party. Join the, again, there's kind of this idea of being unorganized, but it's fun. There's a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Whenever you're joining the fray.
Join the fray.
Somehow.
Yeah. I don't know that we say the fray is, for example, but it's usually join the fray.
Yeah, that's right. So here we see the fray of, right? Jump into the fray of this celebration.
And it is a fray, right?
Yeah,
it is a crazy time with its vibrant, very, very bright costume displays and energetic dance parties. And she wants to have a good relationship, build up a kind feeling towards or between people and a willingness to be helpful. So she hopes she can build goodwill with locals, and then they might just invite her. That means they hopefully will. Maybe they will. They may just invite me to join in and pick up some dance moves, the samba. What's the samba, Gabe?
Well, I'm not very good at the samba, but or at any type of dance.
You're not?
For that, no. I enjoy dancing, but it's kind of embarrassing to watch. But this is a dance from Brazil. It's a very fast dance. And yeah, there's also, we use the same word to talk about the music that often accompanies a samba. It's very fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sambas are quite fun. So she will get invited to join and pick up some of those samba moves. When you pick up something, that means you're going to learn something. Yeah, it's just kind of a fun way of saying maybe learn a little bit about something.
Yes.
Yeah. So how does our lesson continue?
Well, the cultural experience she most wants to try, and she's got a colon here, the Rio Little Africa walking tour, which highlights the city's African roots and its ties to the transatlantic slave trade. So here at the end of our article, something that's not lighthearted, something that's not fun, but something that is cultural, but tied to a very serious historical occurrence.
Yeah, series of events of people buying and selling slaves and transporting them across the Atlantic Ocean to there in Brazil. That's the transatlantic slave trade. It's part of a trend, she says, that I reported on in 2024. She reported on it. I was curious about this writer. She does have a very good Instagram page, and apparently she has worked together with BBC and different organizations like that. So she has done a bit of reporting, but she also does like to write about travel as well. So she reported on it in 2024 as Brazil began making a push for Black heritage travel for the first time ever. So this sounds like a very important move for Brazil. To try to promote this heritage, this Black heritage travel, and they've never done it before. This is the first time ever. Rhonda, that's the end of our lesson. Do you have any final thoughts, any takeaways?
Well, my takeaway is that I've had a great time, and I hope that our listeners have picked up some new English words, some ideas. And it's been great to jump into the fray of another wild and crazy radio program with Gabe. No, we hope it hasn't been too crazy, but I'm trying to use some of our expressions. But thank you for having me, Gabe.
Well, no, it's been a pleasure. It's been great. And friends, yeah, try to go through again. And now that you have a deeper understanding of some of the words and phrases we talked about, just listen to these articles again from the beginning, from the 15th all the way through today. That is all the time we have. My name is Gabe.
I'm Rhonda.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.